most of the things that that technology has given rise to in terms of worries can also be fixed by tech.
Hello, and welcome to At the Forefront FinTech Conversations. I'm Sam Belden, VP and Head of Content at Forefront. And joining me today is Ronan Donahue, Founder and Managing Director of Q4 Capital Advisors. His company offers consulting services for a range of capital markets stakeholders. Ronan, welcome to At the Forefront.
Good to be here.
Great to have you. So today we're going to talk about the old world of banking and how it is being transformed by technology and particularly AI. It's a topic that Ronan knows all about. So today we'll be talking a bit about some of the potential of AI, the risks that are present, and how this technology may be impacting the hiring landscape in banking. But before we get into those topics, I do want to put this conversation into a bit of a wider context. So when we think about the banking industry, The biggest macro story from the past year has likely been the collapse of several prominent banks, perhaps most notably Credit Suisse and Silicon Valley Bank. Ronan, you spend a lot of time thinking about the intersection of this old world of banking and emerging developments in the world of fintech. Did any of these innovations that you spend so much time working with, did they play into the banking turmoil over the past year? And maybe give a little bit of explanation if they have.
Sure, Sam. Well, you might be expecting me to highlight a specific fintech innovation or some new way of doing things, but it wasn't really that. I think, you know, I was 25 years in the bond market before I started consulting on it. And in those days, when a regional bank, mid-sized regional bank like SVB in the West Coast of America ran into trouble, here in Europe, we would clock that and we'd know about it and we'd get the updates, but it wouldn't derail what was going on in the European theater on new issues, secondary market conditions, and so on. But here we saw a situation, I think, that had a lot of bankers sitting up straight in 2023, where a mid-sized bank in the West Coast of America not only came on stock, but came on stock in remarkably quick time. So, for example, in one afternoon, 40 billion United States dollars left that bank. Further, it impacted what was happening in Europe in lightning speed. We saw one of the big banking behemoths in Europe, Credit Suisse, which was founded in the mid-19th century and is listed as was at the time what we call a global systemically important financial institution, a G-SIFI. So designated because it has the ability to topple other banks, it's that big. And most market observers see a direct connection between SVB and Credit Suisse. Now, what is that? I think it was simply the digitalization of banking that has taken place in the last more than a decade, meeting not just social media, but the way that news spreads in general. So I call it the digitization of panic. Mm-hmm. So you couldn't contain the story in California, which should have been, because there was no real links to Europe in this bank, some, but no real. But what you couldn't do was stop fearful stakeholders like bondholders, like shareholders, and depositors casting about in Europe going, oh my God, what just happened there could happen here. And Credit Suisse had some managerial and operational difficulties in the months leading up to this, and suddenly it saw very rapid deposit flight, just like SVB. We saw the share price collapse, and there was some comments on social media that helped fuel this, and very quickly the regulator had to step in and force it into get UBS, the other big Swiss bank, to take it over. And I think that was the big thing. It's not one fintech invention. It was probably the first big test of this digitization of global finance, coming together in a crisis and seeing how it plays out. And it played out like wildfire. And I think that had people sitting up very straight.
Great. Well, appreciate that overview. And that term you used, the digitization of panic, I really like that term. I think it can be applied to a lot of different industries and issues that are sort of intersecting with the technology and innovation that's playing out today. So appreciate that. You know, another topic in that world of technology that is inspiring some panic on some sides, some excitement and almost euphoria on other sides is AI. I think it's, you could argue it's the major topic for technology, not just in banking, but across all areas of business and society. Obviously, there's potential. There are also risks at play. When you think about AI, tell us how you see that topic and some of the potential downsides that banks and other stakeholders in the capital markets might need to guard against.
Okay, well, why don't I deal with some of the downsides first? Because I like to end on a positive note. We've seen a lot of worrying developments. I mean, only this week I was addressing in another forum the amount of fake banking websites we've seen. Very, very credible looking websites enticing people to log on. And then, of course, these scammers would have your log on details to apply to the real website. I think there was 2,000 complaints most recently in the United Kingdom alone that regulators are addressing. We've seen developments, a lot of banks moved to voice recognition for logging on purposes for speed. But of course, we've seen voice recognition along with other deep fake technology applied for nefarious purposes. And there's a very sophisticated scamming, I'm reluctant to say ecosystem, but it kind of is. The scammers out there using all of the latest technology to try and undermine the system. So that has to be keeping banking heads up late at night. We've also seen, go back to your digitalization or panic point, which yeah, it is an interesting way of describing it, because the other thing people are talking about a lot is disinformation and misinformation. And I think markets, financial markets, which banks are heavily dependent on, are interlinked with politics, geopolitics. So the things that we can't control, like wars and hurricanes and all of these things, affect the markets. But we've also seen with the populist tilt in politics and the case in the United Kingdom, very well known, of previous Prime Minister Liz Truss, lasted about a month. She put together a budget that was designed, I think a lot of commentators would say, to please her party and certain stakeholders among the voting public, but the markets didn't buy it. Her budget wasn't costed, and it caused a panic sell-off in the markets more or less instantly, and it wouldn't stop until the budget was scrapped. And what it did was it had a knock-on impact on people's mortgages, the amount of money they had to pay every month, a real material impact, which possibly gave rise to greater defaults on mortgages and so on. And so there's a kind of indirect link between populism, because populism gets you to poor policy, and poor policy gets you to market turmoil, and market turmoil gets you to real everyday cost rises for members of the public. So all of that's going on. However, I am very, very positive. I'll say at the outset, I think most of the things that that technology has given rise to in terms of worries can also be fixed by tech. Mm-hmm. I think AI could call out these fake websites very quickly if we could agree whose job it was and what the budget is. And I think its ability to recognize small changes in whether it's medical diagnostics or whatever it is can also be applied to, finding and filtering out phishing emails or bad websites or whatever it is. So I think it's all about the incentive. Maybe a government organization needs to pick that one up as opposed to a private sector company. But what I'm really excited about, what I'm leading a bank capital conference here in June in London on some of these changes. And I started by going to my old world. So in debt capital markets where I worked, and it's the same for equity capital markets, we spent a lot of time doing client proposals. We spent a lot of time on airplanes visiting clients across Europe and elsewhere. We spent endless hours doing financial analytics, modeling. And then, of course, when I raised capital for banks and insurance companies, mostly when it came to raising the capital, we had a run in of maybe 6 weeks on preparing legal documentation. Then you'd have to do a roadshow around Europe. That took a week, 10 days. You've launched price, settlement took a further 2 days and so on. I think we're looking at a world where most of the origination that is getting the business from clients can be done online. I think it'll be good for the environment because we're not going to be flying as much. I'm seeing a gentle move towards blockchain bonds, which means that the entire terms and conditions are coded into a blockchain bond, and it is traded on that immutable system. So it is it'll cut down on bond disputes. There's many law suits to do with terms and conditions that kick off. It'll be quicker in terms of reaching investors with their allocation of bonds, and settlement will be quicker. Blockchain has the ability to get it down to more or less instantly from a couple of days, in the way that if you pass money through Revolut, it would go very quickly. So there's an awful lot of things I'm seeing in my field and in related fields like asset management. Robo-investing is going to make life easier. Bespoke research, where a hedge fund and a pension fund would be looking for different things in the research of a client, and it could be tailored to their specific requirements more quickly. And we could keep going with modeling in mergers and acquisitions, real-time modeling that's continuously updated for changes in market sentiment and so on. So I see this becoming a very efficient space, but there's many reasons why it won't happen overnight we can come on to. But I am excited about where I believe it's going.
Great. Appreciate that overview. I'm glad that you kind of gave points on both sides of that ledger, some of the potential downsides, but you ended with talking about the vast potential. And I think that sums it up well. We need to proceed with caution. You know, there are risks that need to be mitigated. But when you think about the real human impact, the potential for accelerating processes, enhancing accuracy from day one, baking that into key processes, that potential is pretty exciting. Thank you for that. You know, when we think about going beyond the technology and the functionality of AI itself, it seems likely that AI, based on some of the things that you just described, will maybe cause an industry-wide evolution of certain job roles, maybe even displace some employees from their current positions. So how do you see that part of the AI story playing out?
Again, I know there's a lot of debate here. I mean, probably the biggest, Sam Altman versus from OpenAI versus Elon Musk, could be regarded as two sides of this coin, because Musk, when he was at a conference in the UK late last year, said it'll get rid of all jobs. I mean, it won't. That is just not credible. Right. I see it as a disruptor. I think it will disrupt rather than destroy jobs. The thing that might destroy your job is someone who's using AI and therefore becomes more productive, more efficient than you, and they'll take your job. I don't think the bot, so to speak, will necessarily take your job. So the word that I'm hearing a lot now is augmented working. So you will just have better tools to do your job. So it will cut down on employment, but it'll create other jobs. So to give an example, I think in wealth management, there's a lot of talk of robo-investors. Even in trials, I think the bot can allocate sums of money to equities and bonds and cash and so on more efficiently than kind of fund manager, and continuously updated. Like if there is a change, it'll sell at the optimal time and all of this. Now, does that mean we won't have wealth managers? No, I think what we'll have is those individuals will be able to man a much larger portfolio. So let's just say they had 50 clients, they could probably move to 250 fluidly. I think you're going to see productivity rise. There was an example, and I did a blog on my LinkedIn and website there before Christmas. I'll just mention one firm, Allen & Overy. It's a law firm. They launched a product called Contract Matrix, which is a digital AI-powered and informed document drafting product. So basically the party to a transaction can input directly into it, and you can do it very, very quickly. Now, a moment ago, I mentioned that I was responsible for a product called Hybrid Capital. That's not today's discussion, but people can Google it if they wish. Our docs took about 6 weeks, as I say, before a deal. I think, you know, with these kind of developments on the legal side, I wouldn't be surprised if we got that down to overnight or a couple of days in the not too distant future. So there again, you see productivity rising. You'll see I as an individual had to manage, had to worry about how many deals I could take on at once so that I give my clients a proper service. With these kind of tools at my disposal, you could take on more transactions and give all clients a 10 out of 10 service. So I think productivity, which is, there's been a lot of talk about poor productivity this side of the pond in the UK. I really see these developments being able to enhance it. So, and lastly, I'll just mention a curious, interesting job I also blogged on, the prompt engineer, probably heard of them. I hear they're attracting very good salaries, and it's either no code or low code. Their code is English language. Mm-hmm. And so getting the most out of AI requires very intelligent input, how you ask it to do tasks, how you phrase it. And so that's a job, and they're getting, you know, very attractive salaries. That's a job that has been created. We never heard of that term very recently. And there no doubt will be others. So I don't think employment is going to be routed. I think what people will need to be prepared for change, for modification, for moving with the times. And I think the young set that's coming up now are ripe for that. I think everything's moving in the right direction. So again, I'm an optimist on this one.
Great to hear. Good. And to that point, it feels like in the future generations, in the years to come, the people who figure out a way to make the most effective use of AI in their jobs will be the most successful, as opposed to people, you know, there will be no making the case that AI is not coming for my job. AI will not impact my job. So it's about finding a way to make sure its impact is as much as possible. And to your point, that requires human input. So it will be certainly fascinating to see how it all plays out. Thank you for that. You know, we talked about AI a good amount on this conversation, but obviously that's just one of the major innovations impacting the banking space today, among others. So when you think about digital transformation in banking and financial services more broadly, what comes to mind as some other ways that technology is maybe influencing firms to take up new ways to do old business?
Well, as I say, I mean, banking was a good example. I mean, you know, when I talked about my old job and how it might be played out in the future, I think that's a very good example. And I think there's no reason why, if we move away from banking in any industry, you won't see this kind of thing happening. Mm-hmm. You know, if that's your question about other industries and so on, you know, I heard some medical practitioners on the radio only a few days ago speaking about how they could, doctors saying how they could cut down on waiting lists and other things using medical diagnostics as a first line of checking with people. And as with our wealth managers, they could take on more patients because they'd be overseeing it. So I think I'm obviously mostly focused on banking and finance, and the new ways of doing old business, I think will really be, it'll be just leveraging those tools to do more for your client, to be more productive, and to do it quicker. So, I think wherever you go, there'll be others more familiar with different ecosystems, but I think this is set to play out. And the only thing I would add is that in the banking space, because it's a highly regulated industry, I get asked a lot about timing, and there's some very specific and understandable reasons why it's not all happening as quick as some people would like or imagined it might. And, you know, happy to go into those details if you wish, but it's some industries, I think a brand new startup, you know, app to do something we haven't done before, will get together, will move forward more quickly than when you're trying to retool an established industry that has all types of protocols and set ways of doing things. You need to be very careful how you maneuver that onto a new platform, because you've got existing customers to look out for at all times.
Hmm. Yeah, no, that makes sense. And it'll certainly be interesting to see how it all plays out. So I know you'll be keeping a close eye on it. We will be from our side as well. So appreciate that. I want to thank you for joining us on At the Forefront today. Great conversation. It was great to hear a bit about how all the different processes from your sort of experience and working with clients, how those are going to be transformed through AI technology across the board and what it could mean for industry professionals as they look at the future of their jobs and their roles. So appreciate all of the great insight today. And I want to thank our listeners for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed the conversation. If you'd like to learn more about Ronan and the work that he does, you can head over to q4capitaladvisors.com. And to hear more podcast episodes like this one, you can head over to forefrontcomms.com. That's comms with two M's. And go over to the news and insights page and scroll through our full archive of episodes. So once again, this has been At the Forefront. Ronan, thank you for joining us today. And until next time.
Thank you. It's good to be on.